Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin again with the first verse. We're going to read all the way down to the 13th verse because it just all ties together and we need to keep it all in context properly. And so Acts chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered and said to the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. It just seems when we have an opportunity to read your word, and we had such a wonderful time in Sunday school this morning, and just continue, Father, to guide and to lead us through your precious word. And if we be born again, the Spirit of God lives within our hearts, and we have the great teacher to teach us your word. And the excitement and the freedom that we joy, the joy that we have. You have given us this local church, Father. The local church is to hear for the purpose of growing and to fellowship and to lift each other up. And Father, help us to do that. Help us to see the needs of others and pray for them and lift them up. And Father, we do hope that others are praying for us. But even if they don't, Father, we still need to be the one to lift our voices up. And when we do, when we begin to pray for others and help others in whatever manner we can, the blessing comes our way and the strength comes our way and the wisdom. And so, Father, please, that you will help us to see the need and the wonderful gift you've given us when you have given us this local church. And please, help this family to grow closer together. And Father, if there's someone here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day that they will come to know you. Today is the day of salvation. Please, please, that they come to the cross where you were crucified and died to save us. Please. Speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look at these scripture verses, very familiar scripture verses probably to all of us. We find that this man was born lame. He was unable to walk. In continuing to study this over the last few weeks, you kind of get a thought, you can see him being healed and standing up and walking and leaping and rejoicing. But can you imagine, and the scripture tells us a little further in the scripture, that this man was over 40 years old. And so for over 40 years, from his mother's womb, from birth, this man has never walked. Can you imagine the muscles and his legs? There would be no strength in his legs whatsoever. It'd just be nothing but bones. And being a beggar, why, I'm sure that his whole body looked in that fashion. He had very little nourishment, but especially his legs and his feet would almost be withered up by this time, and you just see the bones sticking out and no muscles at all. You know, it's unbelievable how fast that the muscles go away if you don't use them, and to be never to have the ability to walk. I can't imagine what this man, his appearance and or his ability. And of course, that's what makes it such a miracle, as God has healed him. So kind of keep that in mind as we look at this. And remember, we have men bringing him, and we've talked about that two things, that this lame man was a perfect picture of a sinner, lost, crippled, and can't walk, and that's exactly what we are without the Lord Jesus. But also then, we looked at the men that carried him to this gate. And as they carried him to the gate, there was a purpose for that, so that he could beg and get others. But if they had not brought him that day that far, he would have not been into the position or the place where Peter and John could have spoken to him and asking this question. So these men had a part in his salvation. They brought him to this door, this gate. And we know that he was at the steps of the gate. And in order to come through the door, you must accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But someone can help you get to that door, tell you about the Lord Jesus, and then it's up to you whether you say yes or no and reject it. And so we find this lame man at the gate, at the door, wanting to go through, but that's as far as the men could bring him, because I can't save you, you can't save me, we can't save anyone, we can't even save our children. The only thing we can do is bring them to by the Word of God and let the Spirit of God deal with their hearts and come to the Lord Jesus. So these men brought him to the gate, brought him to the steps. And here's Peter and John. As they come to the gate, and we find that Peter and John, the question was asked. They saw them coming, and he asked an alms. And Peter, you know, he was begging. He needed food, needed nourishment. And so Peter and John then, fastened their eyes upon him, and they had a request. They said to this lame man, "Look on us." And so the man did. But as the fifth verse tells us, expecting to receive something of them. He didn't look upon them because he knew that Peter and John was going to heal him. The lame man looked upon them hoping to get some gold or silver. And what's the first words out of Peter's mouth? "Silver or gold, I have none." Now, at this point in time, how many people in the world turn their back on you? "I don't have anything to give you. I can't give you wealth. I can't give you possessions. But what I have, I'll give you." At what point did this man stay with Peter and John? Because at any point in time when he said, "I don't have any silver or gold," you know what the normal man would have done? He would have looked to the next man down the line. There were folks coming in all the time. It wasn't just Peter and John by themselves. And so, "Well, you don't have anything for me, so you look on." But we praise God that the Spirit of God held this man's interest enough that he listened. And we never know. When we're the one that brings somebody to the door of the Lord Jesus, that they trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation, we don't know whether we'll be the one that brings them to the place that they say, "Yes, I want the Lord Jesus," or if we just bring them to that step, and then someone else comes by and they speak to them about the Lord Jesus. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God has caught this man's attention. And he stayed. He stayed with them to listen. We never know when that's going to happen. So don't ever think that the words that you've proclaimed to someone have ever went void, because they have not. They never will. Proclaim the word every opportunity you have, and don't go home disgusted and discouraged if they do not choose Jesus that day. Pray for them, that you again or someone else will have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, that they will be born again and they'll be saved. And so this lame man, can you imagine his first feeling? I mean, Peter knew what he wanted. He wanted money. Peter got that out of the road right up front. He said, "Silver or gold have I none." Why didn't the lame man turn aside and look to someone else that would have silver or gold? It's because the Spirit of God has got this man's attention. Got his attention. Peter said in verse 6, "Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Stayed with him. This lame man stayed with him. Someone brought him to the steps, and now Peter and John stopped by. How many times did they see this lame man and walk right by him? We don't know. But we should always, when we see someone that's crippled and lame, and I'm not talking about necessarily physical, but spiritual as well, let's see that we take time. Peter put it right on the... He told him everything. "I don't have any silver or gold." He didn't lead him on. He didn't tell him, "Oh, if you'll be saved, if you'll be a Christian, you know, God is going to bless you and he will make you wealthy and he'll make you rich. Just send me your $1,000 and I know the Lord's going to turn it into $5,000 for you. If you want... 5,000, why, if you want 10,000, then you give me 2,000. That's how it works. God never promises us wealth. He promises us wisdom and peace and joy, something 1,000 times greater than wealth can ever give. And Peter didn't promise him anything. He said, "I don't have any silver or gold." So don't miss that when you're looking at this scripture. Peter right up front said, "I don't have any money." He wanted to see whether this lame man was serious. "But such as I have, I'll give it to you." What's left? What's left to a beggar? You don't have silver or gold. What could he possibly have for me? "What I have, I'll give you." And Peter moved right to the precious words, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter reached out his hand. Did Peter need to do that? Did Peter need to reach out to help the man up? Of course not. God could have chosen to heal this man as he had many times before. From afar. He didn't have to have a messenger there. But you see how God is so glorified by the way God has done this. And so, thankfully, Peter reached out his hand, and that man, by faith, took his hand. What's it say here? rise up and walk? He's never walked. He wasn't in an accident and lost the ability to walk. He has never walked from birth. He's being told to do something that he knows is impossible. It's the same with us. How? How can anyone take our sin away and set us free? How can anyone do that? How could God do that? How can he take a poor, rotten, filthy sinner and cleanse him and make him whole? How can that be? You know, Nicodemus, a smart man, educated man, says, do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? When Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand. Think of this man. Stand up and walk. And even the hand of Peter being handed out to him, knowing there's no silver or gold, why did this man take his hand? Why did he ever think for a second that he could walk? Why do we believe that coming to Calvary, trusting the Lord Jesus and his precious shed blood, gives us salvation? We are forgiven of all of our sins. They're taken away as far as the east is to the west, never to return. And then not only that, then he seals us. How can this be? By the power of God. By the power of God. By faith. He took him by the right hand. He lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. And I don't believe that he took him under the shoulders as you take a person that is unable to walk and you try to lift them up and to move them from one chair to another or getting him into a wheelchair or something like that. That Peter did not have to do that. When their hands touched, this man's legs, limbs, and ankles, they just begin to be strengthened and were there immediately. And he stood up. He stood up. And he just leaped for joy. I've been healed. I've been made whole. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him. Walking and leaping and praising God. This man was excited. There was no question that salvation had come into this man's heart, that he was healed, physically healed. You know, when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus, we too are immediately healed. Many teach that your salvation, that you trust in the Lord Jesus, but then you have to work a while so that you get the Holy Spirit. They don't recognize that the Holy Spirit is a person. And the day that you're born again, you get the person of the Holy Spirit to live within your heart. You don't get a little bit of the Holy Spirit. And if I keep praying and if I finally can speak in tongues or can finally perform this or do that, that then I'll be filled with the Spirit. Well, we need to be controlled by the Spirit. And that's a lifetime adventure. But we need to look at the day we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us and abides in our hearts. We have all of the Holy Spirit. We have been made whole. We have received the righteousness of God in a split second. Just as this lame man, in a split second, took Peter's hand and was raised up. God used Peter. It's nothing. Don't please. Do not think that there was some power in Peter's hand. because there was not. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It was by the power of God. How is someone saved? It's not by my hand reaching out to them. When someone comes forward and we have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord Jesus, and usually we're hand in hand, but it's nothing to do with any power that anyone has. It's the power of the Holy Spirit and then the faith that God gives you, and you believe. And somewhere in this transition of Peter saying, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Somewhere in that process, that man received the faith of God and believed and stood up. Who saw him? Who witnessed this? Did anyone realize that this was the lame man that had been at the gate of Beautiful? He had been there on occasion on I don't know whether it was an everyday affair or just at certain times, but he'd been there so much for these 40 years that people knew him. They knew who he was, and they could not believe what they were seeing, what they were experiencing. All the people saw him walking and praising God. He was a witness. We should be the same the day we are born again, made new. We should be a witness. People should know and recognize that we've been healed. We begin to visit different places. We begin to be around different folks. We begin to talk differently. And all it's a work of the Holy Spirit in our life. As we have become, be made new, we have received the righteousness of God. He has changed our wonder, and we begin to do different things and talk to different people because we don't like that worldly crowd anymore. I can't go into that place anymore that I have visited all of my life. I don't want to go. It's not because you're under the law and you can't go. You don't want to go. Your wonder's changed. And so as you begin to grow, and this lame man, where's the first place he went? He walked with Peter and John into the temple, praising God. He couldn't wait to get to church. And you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has given us the local church. And he's given us a body of believers. And that is one place that you should desire to be and desire to go to be in the house of God, to fellowship over the Word of God and to pray for each other and be there to help each other and lift each other up. You know, all of us have troubles. All of us have needs. But do we come to share those troubles with somebody, or do we come because we're there, I don't care how bad I feel, I'm coming because I know I can help somebody. How do we come? Do we come so that somebody can hand us something? Or do we come that we can hand something to someone else? How do we come? We're to be servants. Got to be here to be a servant. You got to be here to serve and praise God. The local church should be the center of a Christian's life. Your family, the church. One is no stronger than the other, but we need to be in the house of God. And please don't miss that opportunity. And we see today the destruction of the local church. It's become mega church. It's become a social event. It's become a country club fashion. It's not church where you come because do you come to be catered to, or do you come to help, to serve? What's your purpose of being here as a believer? And if you're lost, you need to be saved. You need to come by faith to Jesus right now. You need to be born again. They saw him. They witnessed him. Immediately he was healed, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. That same reaction should come as people get to know you after you've come by faith to Jesus. They should wonder, what's changed? Most of the world will say, I see a change. Won't last. They'll fall right back in. They'll be back with us before long. This church thing that they're doing, it'll end. And if it's just some religious thing they're doing, yes, it will. But if they're born again, it will last and it will continue. With wonder and amazement, what had happened to him? As a lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Solomon's porch is an attachment to the temple where that many people would come to hear the reading of the Word of God or discuss spiritual things, and they were gathered there, and they could not believe what had happened. Wonder. And Peter saw it, and he answered and said to the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our power, our own power and holiness, we have made this man to walk? You see, immediately they were looking at this lame man that had been healed. But more than that, they were looking at John and Peter. Look at the power. Look at the power that these people have. They were looking at that. You see, they didn't listen. And that's the reason for this next part here. Because in verse 13, and we'll close with this and start with this next week. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus. And then he gets right to the point. Whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Ye denied the Holy One and the Just One. Ye desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He knew his crowd. Peter knew who was around there. They didn't want to be born again. They didn't want to be healed. They wanted that power that Peter and John had. But Peter kept it right where it needed to be. He said that Jesus. And we're once again to the place, you can't be saved till you're lost. And he was telling those people, you crucified him. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. Understand that. Beautiful picture of salvation to a person going from an unbeliever to a believer. We went from being crippled, blind, lame, to walking and leaping and seeing. And we went from sadness and sorrow to joy. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, seek that joy out. Please. Many times, as a believer, we still find ourselves so involved with the world that we miss that joy. And we don't have that strength. We don't have the wisdom. And so please that you come into the house of God. And, you know, come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You want to be strengthened? We'll be strengthened by the Word of God. You want to have fellowship? Then come and seek out who you can help. Don't seek out who can help you. How can you help? What can I do? God can bless so much. And it's unbelievable how he strengthens us physically and spiritually as well when we come with the thought that, boy, I hope they're here because I studied a verse of Scripture this week and I can't wait to tell them. We learned a new Scripture this morning and we've we've been talking about the butler and the baker and the candlestick maker. And we're trying to figure out where the candlestick maker comes in, but it's been repeated several times, so it must be true. You know, that's the way you do anything. You say it enough times, it must be true. So I want you folks to find in the Scripture the candlestick maker and tell me what part of the Scripture that, you know, tell me what that is. Because
Leviticus.
Leviticus. Okay, we'll go to Leviticus. It's surely in Leviticus. As we enjoy studying the Word of God, we come to grow together and to have the fellowship. So please, please don't miss the opportunity to fellowship. But come, and again, if you see something and someone had a question the week before, say, hey, I found this. Will this help you? Or if there's a need there somewhere, can I help you? That's what we're to be doing as we enjoy walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Helping, as in the book of Acts, the beginning, they had to. They sold all their goods because there was such a great need, and to live in a nice home and have some possessions, and you see my brother over here starving to death, I'm willing to give everything I have here. That way I can help. And that's what they did. It was out of love, not out of command or anything else. It was just out of love. And we should be the same. This lame man, he come leaping and excited as he came into the house of God. The first place he went after he was healed, because he knew the one that healed him. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. Such a joy to study it, to look at it, to understand that the miracle of healing this lame man, the greatest miracle ever performed, is for me to be made one, made whole, made righteous with the righteousness of God. To be born again, to have my sins forgiven. That's the greatest miracle that's ever been performed, and it's been performed many, many times. And still the greatest miracle. Nothing compared to this lame man to be healed physically, for me to be healed spiritually. That's a miracle. Thank you, Father, for the great miracle of salvation, your wonderful grace as you hand it out. Please continue to guide and lead us each and every day. Bring folks to you that are lost. They come by faith to the cross of Calvary and said, yes, I believe, because the faith, the word was proclaimed and the Spirit of God could work, and that person was made whole. Please, Father, help us. Everyone is so many are hurting. So many need physical healing. So many need spiritual growth and healing. Many folks need salvation. So please, Father, just help us to stay in your word and trust in your word and be the helper that we need to be, the servant that we need to be, Father. Please speak to hearts today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.